Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. Tonight at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, party nominee Donald Trump will cap off this giant four-day party with what is perhaps the biggest speech of his campaign. He said he'll probably use a teleprompter for the speech, a rare departure because he's mocked other politicians for doing so in the past. His off-the-cuff, bombastic, and often polarizing speeches are part of what has won him so many supporters. That behavior is nothing new for Mr. Trump. In fact, even when he was a boy, he would throw birthday cake at parties and erasers at teachers. That's from reporting by Matt Visor, who covers national politics for the Boston Globe. He wrote recently about Donald Trump's drive to surpass his father's success on the front page of the Sunday Boston Globe, and he joins us now from Cleveland to dive deeper into Donald Trump's biography. Thanks so much for joining us, Matt.
Hey, Indira. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to begin with a piece of tape from Donald Trump Jr.'s speech on Tuesday night that really encapsulates for listeners how the Trump campaign has promoted the candidate's business background.
I know that when people tell him it can't be done, that guarantees that he gets it done. I know that when someone tells him that something is impossible, that's what triggers him into action. When people told him it was impossible for a boy from Queens to go to Manhattan and take on developers in the big city, rather than give up, he changed the skyline of New York.
All right, so a can-do guy who won't take no for an answer and who always negotiates the best deal for himself. Is that what you found when you dug into his business background?
There's an aspect of that that is true, although it should be said that Donald Trump sort of followed in the footsteps of his father, who was a very successful developer himself in Queens and in Brooklyn near Coney Island in New York. His father started Trump out with $1 million loan. He helped him with political contacts. There was a lot of help that Donald Trump got very early on from his dad. That said, Donald Trump had different dreams that were bigger and broader than his father. And he did make the move to go into Manhattan, which was a different type of real estate world than his father across the river.
Well, let's talk a little bit about his dad, Fred Trump, because you really gave some very interesting reporting about him being a pretty humble guy. Fred apparently went to construction sites, picked up loose nails off the ground, made sure that workers would reuse them next week, and even helped build some of his early housing developments.
Yeah, so Fred Trump, Donald Trump's father, got started out at a very young age. His own father died when he was 12 years old. So he sort of assumed a lot more responsibility at a young age and started doing construction and building prefabricated two-car garages for $50 in the neighborhood and sort of used that to expand and eventually was doing huge apartment complexes and bigger buildings. But Fred Trump was a sort of a quieter guy, not a showy guy. He wore suits as Donald Trump does. He's businesslike, but he was not as bombastic and showy as his son. One early story that Fred Trump has relayed about Donald was about a baseball glove. Donald Trump wanted to buy a $35 baseball glove, and Fred Trump
friend, right? When he was a little boy. So this was like in what, the 1950s or 60s?
Yeah, in the 50s, and Trump, Donald Trump, wanted this glove for his friend, and Fred Trump couldn't believe it. He would only get him a $5 glove, and he took him to the shop, and as Fred Trump tells it, Donald Trump about threw up once he saw the $5 glove. He couldn't stand it.
So, but $35 for a birthday present in the 1950s for a kid's birthday, that's pretty shocking.
Yeah, right,
you describe Fred Trump as a modest man, and yet at the same time, he was pretty well known. In 1950, you report that the Fashion Foundation of America named him one of the country's best dressed men alongside then General Dwight Eisenhower.
Yeah, so I mean, there was a little bit of a flashy side to Fred Trump. He drove a Cadillac, and he would get a new Cadillac just about every year. There was a period. Fred Trump grew up fairly poor, but became quite wealthy. The house that Donald Trump grew up in was a big one, sort of a mansion in Jamaica Estates. But Fred Trump did have a little bit of flash to him, and he was very well known and very politically connected in the real estate world. But he didn't always want to capture the headlines. I mean, he wanted to have the connections in order to get zoning things changed or get FHA
right.
loans from the government. You know, it's sort of nitty gritty stuff that was a lot different from the
right.
sort of pathway that Donald pursued.
Well, I'm struck that, you know, the father became a millionaire, but the son became a billionaire. And it seems like from a very young age, I mean, his dad built these sort of low income housing developments, and the son said, "No way, I'm not going to stick to Queens and the outer boroughs. I want to build on the skyline of Manhattan." I mean, how early was that known? You tell one anecdote in your story about the very young Donald Trump and his brother and building blocks. This one was shocking to me. Tell us the story.
Yeah, so Donald Trump, this is a story that Donald Trump has relayed about when he was a kid, and they were using building blocks, and Donald Trump needed more blocks. And so he asked his brother, his younger brother, if he could borrow some, and his brother said, sure. So Donald Trump builds this tower, and he likes it so much that he glues all of the blocks together. And so Donald says that was the end of, you know, Robert, his brother's blocks. You know?
But what's incredible is that he's proud of this story, that
yeah.
he stole his brother's blocks, and his brother said, you better give them back, and he just didn't. But he
yeah,
tells this story
yeah.
as a badge of honor, it seems.
Yeah, and I mean, and story after story, and Donald Trump seems to know and sort of recognize he was a quite polarizing figure in the neighborhood. You know, I mean, he was kind of, you know, a brat, you know, as his sister has sometimes described him. You know, so he at an early age, kind of was like we see now in some ways. And at one point, his father sent him away to a military school when Donald was a teenager. So I think that was another formative experience for Donald, is sort of that feeling a little bit of rejection from the family, you know, being sent away and having to prove himself in a different type of environment and live up to his father's expectations, which kind of he's been trying to do his entire life.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I'm struck by two different things that you report that Donald Trump said. On the one hand, he said, I'd rather sell apartments to billionaires on Fifth Avenue than apartments to people in Brooklyn who are nice people, but they're going to, you know, nickel and dime me for every penny. But then he also said the working man likes me because he knows I didn't inherit what I've built. How can that be, given that his father got him started with $1 million and also bailed him out with, you know, the casino chips in one of the stories you tell?
Yeah, I mean, he clearly benefits from his father and his father's assistance. Donald Trump would say, you know, as he did when I asked him a similar question, that he did have benefits, and he turned it into much bigger benefits. You know, I mean, he started out with something and built it into a greater empire, which you could argue that. I think he tends to downplay completely the help that he got from his father, and act as if, you know, he did all of this himself, which he didn't. I mean, he lived with his parents right after graduating from Wharton, you know, and was sort of an apprentice to his father for 5 or 6 years before making that decision to go to Manhattan. And even after that, his father would sign financial documents. He bailed him out with purchasing casino chips at one of his Atlantic City casinos to help Trump avert bankruptcy. You know, so there was a lot of help that he got from his father. But I think that the appeal that Trump has, that plain spokenness that does have an appeal to working class voters, I think comes a little bit from his father and the way that his father's business was conducted.
You know, aside from the money, there are other qualities and values that Donald Trump says he's inherited from his father. He says the work ethic, that his dad worked hard all his life. But you also write about Fred Trump having some pretty sexist attitudes. Is there any, I don't know, remnant or echo of that in Donald Trump himself? Tell us, you know, what's the backstory on the dad and sexism?
The interesting thing to that is that it's a little bit counterintuitive to the Donald Trump reputation. This was Donald Trump had hired a woman to be a project manager in the 1980s to build Trump Tower. And
That was very unusual in the 1980s to have a female project manager in construction, right?
Yeah. It certainly was. And Fred Trump had issues mostly because she was a woman and she was so well paid. And so as the woman, Barbara Rest, tells it, Fred Trump forced Donald to lower her salary by $6,000, so that Fred Trump, she wouldn't be making more than Fred Trump's highest paid man. And so she writes that Donald Trump made up the difference personally, sort of off the books, so that Fred Trump wouldn't know about that. And that tells us a couple of things. I mean, one, it is interesting that Donald Trump is still willing to pay a female construction manager better than his father wanted him to. But the other thing is that he sort of hid it from his dad. You know, he didn't want to disobey his father in a way that his father would know about, but he would sort of go around his back to sort of pay the construction manager more.
Fascinating. Yeah. Well, for a long time, you talk about how Fred Trump hid the family's German heritage and claimed that the family was Swedish, and Donald Trump perpetuated that myth for many years. Tell us why.
So this was... came out of a period post-World War II when Fred Trump was trying to rent a lot of apartments to Jews. And it was not a good time where you wanted to be a German in the United States. And so Fred Trump would tell people he was Swedish, that his family came from Sweden, which is not true. Fred Trump's father, Frederick, came from Germany. So that sort of perpetuated for many years.
So he wanted to pretend he wasn't German because of Jewish tenets, basically.
Yes.
He didn't want
to
alienate them. Okay.
Yeah. And then Donald Trump in 1987, when he wrote The Art of the Deal, put in there that his family came from Sweden, you know, which was not true, and by then, you know, didn't matter quite so much. Donald Trump later corrected that in a later book, about a decade later. But they were perpetuating this myth of being from Sweden almost up until the point I talked to Donald Trump's one of his cousins, who's sort of a family historian, and he said that they even got letters, you know, from an organization in Sweden that wanted to do a museum exhibit on the Trumps, you know, to celebrate them being from Sweden. So he went to Donald and Fred and sort of said, we gotta cut this out. Like, you know, we can't keep perpetuating this lie, really, you know.
Well, you mentioned the book Art of the Deal, which he co-wrote with a man named Tony Schwartz, who was a very successful young magazine writer at the time. There's an interview coming out in next week's New Yorker where Tony Schwartz basically describes his regret at having helped, in his words, make the myth of Donald Trump. And he says that there's a fundamental aspect of Donald Trump that it's impossible to keep him focused on any topic other than himself and his own self-aggrandizement for more than a few minutes. Is that what you have found in studying his biography? Is it all basically about Donald Trump himself? Is it about ego?
There is an awful lot in his biography that is about ego. You know, if you look at The Apprentice or you know, his buildings, you know, there was
the giant Trump signs.
They're all Trump. And it should be said, his father didn't do that. Not many of his father's building complexes had the Trump name on them. So that was something that Donald did far more than his father in sort of building these big monuments almost to himself, you know, with his own name on them. I think over the years there has been a lot about Donald Trump that he has pursued his own dreams and his own you know, self-aggrandizement, as Tony Schwartz said. That is sort of striking comments coming from a ghostwriter for a book that, you know, sort of has made Donald Trump's career and reflects a lot of his psychology, I think. I think that changed Donald Trump's own way that he thinks about himself, you know, almost, because he references that book so often.
Well, quick last question. You know, tonight is Donald Trump's big speech, his big moment to shine, and what makes his biography important and, you know, whether narcissism is part of that. Really, the only reason the American people care is about what it would make him be as a leader, as a president. So what's the sort of nugget you want us to take away from what you learned about his biography and what it would tell us about him as president?
I mean, I think you know, over the years, there was an interesting parallel when the story starts with Donald Trump building Trump Tower, and he built it all in glass, and his father didn't understand that. His father used brick, and it was cheap brick, you know, and he couldn't understand why his son was spending so much money on this glass that was so opulent. And so he encouraged Donald to use brick instead, which Donald did not do, you know. And so Donald has a flashiness to him that his father did not have. And in some ways, he's trying to change the Republican Party in a way that's more flashy. You know, you see the Republican Party's used brick for a long time, and Donald's trying to change it into glass in a way.
Into the bronze-tinted glass. All right. Yeah. Well, with that, Matt Visor is a national political correspondent for the Boston Globe. You can read his reporting on Donald Trump's biography on our website, radioboston.org. Matt, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. There's much more ahead. Coming up, a preview of the new Star Trek movie coming to theaters tomorrow. I'm Indira Lakshmanan, and this is Radio Boston.